WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
And now, in stereo. Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. I'm AC. I'm your host. And as always, I'm blessed and honored that you allow me to ride on, embrace your airwaves and ride on through to your speakers. Again, thank you for having us, man. Today is an extremely special day. It's June 19th. It's Juneteenth. And remember, this marks a pivotal movement in not only Black American history, but American history. On this day in 1865, Major General Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas, and announced that we were free. Now, granted, we were free for 2 years. We just didn't know it. So remember, hey, pass it. Look, this is information we need to pass on to our youth, pass down to our children. You know, we weren't always free. We weren't always able to do the things we were that we can do now, And if we forget our history, we forget the past, we're bound to repeat it. So please pass this information on down to your children. All right. Now, so for today, this episode, man, I'm looking to get into this because this brother is multifaceted. So I definitely want to talk about his. I'll call him a two-headed monster because I'm definitely dying to get into both aspects of this. All right. So this is he's an author. He's a motivational speaker, spoken word artist. Hold on, I'm giving him claps, them snaps right there, baby. I'm giving him snaps. All right, and a certified mental health first aider. All right, he's also like I said, author. His memoir, Grit, Grind, and Glory, throughout the world, man. Hey, look, y'all can't see it, but he's showing it right now. hey, and he's an opportunist. All right. So, and look, I'm dying to get into it with this brother right here. Y'all, please, a warm welcome for the multi-talented Anthony McDuffie Jr., hailing out of LA, California. What's good, bro? What's good?
Thank you, brother AC, for the beautiful welcome, man.
Man, I try. I try, man. Hey, so, hey, you know, I'm looking at all this, you know, this stuff that you're doing. Man, I'm like, this joke is in there. Everything. I mean, they say the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, hey, yours ain't idle, bro. you got a lot going on, man. You got a lot going on, man. So, hey, tell us about yourself, man.
My name is Anthony McDuffie Jr. I wrote a memoir called Grit, Grind, and Glory. But a little bit about myself and my past. It started with me losing my father at 8 years old. Grew up in California, Los Angeles. And when you in those type of environments, it's best that you have a protector and a provider and a father figure in your life. Otherwise, you can go down the wrong path early on in life, as I did. Without having my father in the household, it really kind of devastated me in a way where I couldn't bounce back from it. And so what ended up happening was when my dad died at 8 years old from diabetes, he had diabetes, passed away. It sort of made me detach myself emotionally from my mom and from everyone else. And from the grief I was dealing with from losing my father, I internalized it. The grief turned into anger. The anger had to be released in some way, in some form.
Right.
So I got the anger out through, you know, by ways of rebellion, by ways of creating conflicts, having fights, being argumentative, disruptive at school, so on and so forth. So this led to a point where my mom was fed up with my nonsense, fed up with my rebellion, fed up with all of the things that I was putting her through, on top of her already having six other siblings of mine that she had to take care of. And now she's being the main provider in the household. So it was a lot of strain and a lot of stress on mom, and she couldn't contain me nor control me. So what she did was allow who and whatever to be an authority figure in my life to try to correct me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But because I was so rebellious, I ran into the streets. 11 years old, 12 years old, I'm running with gang members, I'm running with criminals, I'm running with drug dealers, I'm running with addicts, I'm running with everybody in the streets that was doing all of the wrong things at the wrong time in their life. And because I was going through a lot of trauma and a lot of pain and a lot of grief, I sort of trauma bonded with my peers. They became gang members, I became a gang member, and we did a lot of gang activity.
Okay.
During that process, I was in and out of jail, juvenile detention at first, for a couple of years, and then that just progressed. My criminality progressed, the cycle of crime progressed, and it eventually led to me committing what they call a life offense of attempted murder. I went out and shot some dudes after they shot at us, and I returned fire. Type of situation. I get caught, 17 years old. I'm sentenced to 25 years in state prison.
Man, wow.
Whoo, can we breathe?
Hey. Yes, sir. Man. Oh, right. Wow. So yeah. You didn't serve the whole 25.
I didn't serve the whole 25, though it felt like the whole 25.
I'm sure.
So young. I served 15 years of that 25-year sentence. I was able, under a juvenile law called SB 260, I was able to go before a commission to determine whether I was suitable to be released back into society. So me knowing that I had to get myself prepared and get myself prepped for this type of hearing, I did just that. So I went to college while I was incarcerated.
Okay.
I got my GED. I did a whole bunch of self-help, lots of self-reflection to get myself back on track. But it definitely didn't start from nowhere. It started from me trying to sort of seek out some sort of guidance because early on in my life, I was misguided. So right. I'm trying to seek out people who can sort of steer me in the right direction and guide me right. And for me, I met some of those individuals in prison.
Okay.
They became mentors of mine. And during those pivotal times in my life, they was encouraging me and empowering me. And thus, I believe these mentors played a pivotal part of me regaining my resiliency. And knowing who I am, sort of, building up my persona and detaching myself from the persona I built within the gang lifestyle.
Right.
Now, connecting myself with spirituality, connecting myself with God. Thus, God gives me the glory, as I always often say, because it's only when you submit your ego and you submit your pride to a higher power and know that that higher power is in control of all things, then thus God raises you and elevates you amongst mankind, among society, amongst your peers, amongst your family. Thus, he done that to me. So in a nutshell, that's the overall to my story. Okay. However, there's these small intricates and complexities, in between all of these nuances as well.
Ah, small complexities, as he calls them. All right. All right. All right. So you painted a picture of, you know, your childhood in brief, and how, you know, when your father passed, there were emotions there. A complexity of emotions. So after you're out there and you get caught and you catch that charge and you're in prison, what's the while you're there and you don't, I mean, I can understand if you don't want to go too deep, but while you're there, what's the caveat that said, man, look, Anthony McDuffie Jr., you got to make a change. I mean, I'm, you know, you're in prison, so of course, you know, but there has to be some caveat that said, nah, this ain't where I'm supposed to be. This ain't it. I'm changing. I'm going to make this life change.
Yeah. Great question. I think that for me was what I call the catalyst moment, that moment of transition. Mm. And for me, it was when I hit my rock bottom. And yes, I was in prison. And when you hit your rock bottom in prison, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. For me, it meant that the oppression of the penal code system was so severe to not only my mental health, but my spiritual health, my physical health, my emotional health, where it became unbearable. Unbearable to the point where this is when people will think and contemplate suicide and the likes of these type of thoughts, because the oppression of the system is that severe. So it was in those dark moments where I just felt alone. I felt dependent. I felt powerless. I felt like no one can hear me out other than God. And so at those very moments, I allowed myself to be vulnerable and cry out with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole spirit, with my whole soul, literally to God, to uplift me, to give me some sort of power in this moment. And so that was my catalyst moment.
Wow. Oh, man. Okay. So, excuse me. So you have this moment and you said you hit rock bottom, and I'm sure rock bottom in prison isn't like rock bottom anyway. I'm like you hit rock bottom. I mean, because at this point you said, you know, ego was out the door. who you thought you were, what you thought you were, all that's out the door. You're at your lowest point, and you have this epiphany, and you say, nah, I need God. I need something more. I need something more. And you mentioned also that you had met individuals while in prison that became role models. How did you know that these individuals, like, point them out, like, because in any young man's, you know, life, we all need role models. In any man's life, I'm the age that I am, and I still seek out counsel. You know, I don't have all the answers. I don't. So it's just good to bounce things off of others, and you know, just pick other people's minds. There, you know, everybody has different experiences. How did you know that the individuals that, because somebody who has never been in prison, I'm gonna tell you how people think. Some people will say, this brother was in prison and he found role models in prison. That don't make any sense. Now, how did you know? No, that brother right there, that's a role model. I need to pattern my life after him.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think the answer to the question is, when you start, at that point in my life, I was doing introspection. I was doing some work on myself, meaning I was, you know, partaking in self-reflections and getting a sense of self. Right. So I was centering myself. And when you're hot, when you're vibrating at that frequency, when you're centering self and you're getting aware of self, then what happens is what you tap into is intuition.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
Yeah. WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Verbal's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
So I was centering myself. And when you're hot, when you're vibrating at that frequency, when you're centering self and you're getting aware of self, then what happens is what you tap into is intuition. So to answer your question, my intuition told me whether who these people were or not. If they were teachers, my intuition would tell me that. Or if they were someone who would come in to, pose as their teachers or pose as their educators, but all in all, they have ulterior motives or ulterior agendas. I will also know that as well. So it was my intuition that kind of really led me to know who was my mentors, who was my teachers, who was my role models, and who wasn't. And then also at the same time, like, there's a thing of having a mentor present or a role model present, and you have access to that person. But where are you during the time the mentor is present or the role model is present? Meaning, are you open to receiving whatever this mentor has or this, you know, this role model have or whoever? As the proverb says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So sometimes the student has to be ready. In this case, I was working on myself already, so I was already putting myself in the ready to receive these mentors as they come. So that's also part of it, too.
Gotcha. The students got to be ready. Now, hold on. So my background is, well, education. So, that right there was a word. The students got to be ready. Boy, if I could have just passed that on to students back then. I'm here. Y'all gotta be ready. This y'all ain't ready. So the memoir, Grit, Grind, and Glory.
Yeah.
The title alone, all right, it's like, man, grit, grind. I mean, the title alone gets you.
And the subtitle, if I may.
What's the subtitle?
The legendary tale of how a born resilient street orphan survived the urban city syndrome and incarceration in a post-slavery era of America.
Man. Whoa.
Right. So, in all, what I'm saying in the subtitle is I'm capturing a moment in time in history where our people are still suffering from the same syndromes as they suffer from during the plantation era, during the times of slavery. And at this post-slavery transition, we are still taking into account the injustices of our people, the enslavement of our people, the exploitation of our people. And I documented this process right along with my story. So it's sort of like a slave narrative that's being passed down to other people, our people, to sort of capture and get what they can get in terms of education, in terms of extracting knowledge, in terms of extracting mindsets. In this book, I describe how I sort of went into an entrepreneurial mindset, and this all came by way of me being humiliated by my celly. And so the narrative, and it's inside this book, is called the chapter is called The Creation of the Coffee Balls. And I explain how I become an entrepreneur overnight by being humiliated by my cellmate. And so what happened was I didn't have money on my books to support myself while I was in prison. Mm-hmm. So I had to rely on people sending me money from outside, sort of like my family, mm-hmm. my brothers and my sisters, but the money sort of slowed down because they were sending me so much already. So, you know, you get to a point where they can't just keep sending you money on a regular as they normally think, you know, cost of living rises, right. All of these sorts of things. And so I understood that, but the person I was in the cell didn't understand that. And so he sort of humiliated me and sort of kind of ridiculed me that my family wasn't providing enough for me. And so what he would do is he would eat big spreads and food in my face and kind of sort of let me feel devalued. Wow. That he is eating these big gourmet meals in my face, not offering me anything.
Now, let me ask you this question. That your cellmate, was he brother or, I mean?
It was a brother.
Wow. So here you guys are both in the same experience. And he still felt the need to humiliate you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And not only did he feel the need, he actually did. But instead of me internalizing the humiliation, what I thought of was how can I take what I have on my books already, which was like, $8, $6, some odd number like that. And I'm like, how do I flip this? So the hustle mentality kicked in within myself that I adopted from the streets. So what I sort of did was incorporate that mentality and that mindset to say, you know what? Let me search for something on the list that I can make a double or a triple or sort of bring back. And so when I started to search the canteen list, I seen coffee as an option. And to me, it made sense. Plus, prior, I was reading articles and it was saying that most of the prison population, they drink some form of caffeine up to 85%. So in my head, that was dollar signs being triggered. I said, wait a minute, if I can transform this jar of coffee into some system of coffee balls or sort of subsidize these coffee balls and make a profit out of it, then I could support myself. And that's exactly what I did. And overnight, I started to gain clientele and I started to provide for myself while I was inside that prison. All the way to the point where I was able to save thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And get out, parole with that money and open up bank accounts. So this is what I'm talking about with switching the mindset and switching the mentality and adapting the mentality of an entrepreneur.
Wow.
By all means, against all odds. So this is something that our people can gain while they're in similar situations, while they're in prison, while they're in a county jail, while they're in the juvenile justice system. Think of ways how you can provide for yourself while you're in this institution.
The individual, now, I mean, I commend you for that. That, against all odds, I mean, I've never heard of anything like that. Like, you're in prison and you just start a business right then and there. I mean, with $6, $8, whatever it was, you just start a business that creates thousands for you to get out in prison. You know, in prison. I mean, most people would have said, man, I give up. And I've heard people, you know, man, it is what it is, man. Like, man, I just got dealt a raw deal, man. Life, you know, you hear all kind of people, their mindset, like you said, they've just given up hope. They've given up trying. They'll blame everybody else around them. It's them. It's not me. And here you, coffee bar. Now, let me ask you this. The coffee bars, right?
Coffee bars, yeah.
Are you still making them?
I'm not making a coffee bar. However, I was working in a coffee shop. So I did get the seed in my head that I should create the creation. And in fact, even making the brand. And so that's in the works.
It's in the works. I was about to say, man, hey, make them coffee bars. I'm intrigued. I'm like, coffee bars? Interested. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. So that was, now we got to that's the point where you said you're switched. Like, I can do better. I like, yeah. like you said, everything you learned on the street just kicked in and bam, you just started. Yeah. So let's talk about this changing of the mind, because you say you're a certified mental health first aider. So as a mental health first aider, right? What are some of the, I guess, the signs, symptoms that somebody can say, man, okay, maybe I need to change my mindset. What if we can always look at somebody from the outside and say, hey, you need to make a change. But a lot of times people don't understand the pit that they're in. It's dark. Yeah. It's dark. But they don't realize they're in a pit. Why is it dark? Well, you're in a pit. We see that from the outside. But they're like, what do you mean? What pit? I don't see anything. You know? So what are the signs and symptoms that somebody's in a pit? Somebody needs to make a change and change that mindset.
I think the most obvious sign is habits. That's the most obvious sign. So whatever your habits is, and if your habits are not conducive to some sort of production or progress in your day to day, then that's an obvious sign within your habits. Another sign of a mental defect is acceptance. If you're trying to seek acceptance from others, or you're trying to sort of seek this validation from other people, and that's also a symptom of a sign that your mindset needs to change. Another one is this self-sabotage mentality. When you start to sort of sabotage or not try your all or even give in when you know you can do better, or you know you can do more, but you just kind of like settle for the bare minimum, that's the self-sabotaging mentality. And that's also a sign and a symptom that lets you know you need to switch up your mentality, you need to switch up your environment, you need to switch up your habits.
Those habits, people. Whoa, that self-sabotage is real. Again, a lot of people don't realize, well, I guess they don't know that they're self-sabotaging. Like the bare minimum is what they'll say. Hey, this is what I got to do. This is what I'm going to do. Boom, boom. That's it. If I got to go to work from 9 to 5, boom, that's it. That's all you're going to get out of me. 9 to 5, I'm going to do nothing. And, and then they wonder why, man, why can't I get anywhere? Well, the person that, is getting, the people that are getting somewhere are putting the extra into it. Yeah. They might work the 9 to 5, but at 5:30, man, they out, doing whatever they can do to be, to be better. Whatever they got to do. And I think that was powerful. And listen, people, if that self-sabotage is real, I want to get back to your room. I'm not your roommate, your cellmate, because that mindset right there, his, not yours, his, right. And it's so prevalent in our communities.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Verbal's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
So here's your cellmate, right? And you're in the same predicament. You're actually in the same cell, not even in this. You're in the same predicament, in the same place, in the same cell. And he felt at that point in time that he was better than you. At that point in time, he had to prove that. And it goes back to the whole acceptance thing that you were talking about. He had to prove. I don't know who he was proving it to. I guess to you. I don't know. But he had to prove to somebody that he was better than you. And it's in our society, it's, oh my God, I can't, especially within our youth. They always want to prove that they're better. Not help others to reach their stature or their status or to say, hey, let's do this together. No. It's, I'm better than you. I'm going to show you I'm better than you. I know it triggered something in you, but man, what were you feeling while he was eating these gourmet meals in front of you and just talking back? Cause he talked about, you know, all your family done, y'all, they kicked you to, I mean, how does that make you feel?
Yeah. So I would love to read an excerpt from the book.
Do it, man.
That answers the question.
Hey.
And I'll get right to it. And so I say, to answer your question, I'm going to read from the book and, the creation of the coffee bar, second paragraph, I describe something about Rooster, which was my cellmate, rubbed me the wrong way from the moment I met him. Although I was just 19, I had enough experience to recognize a certain personality type. It was a very common personality type on the streets where we had to hustle for every dollar we made. However, someone would have a particular good or a product they were selling and always feel a need to be envious or jealous of the next person. This was Rooster in a nutshell. It showed in his pride and how overly overtly he showed off his belongings, the signs of his success. I could tell that if I ever had something of my own, he would turn into a green-eyed monster real fast. Wow. Rooster was selfish, and it was made apparent when he ate. He ate food in my face. And so what I'm describing here is, this is a personality type that I've seen before. Mm-hmm. So when I seen him and I seen the type of things he was displaying, it was nothing new to me.
Right.
What was new to me is how I dealt with it.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
So when I seen him and I seen the type of things he was displaying, it was nothing new to me.
Right.
What was new to me is how I dealt with it. Before, I dealt with it head on with anger and aggression. Uh-huh. Oh, you want to eat my face? I'm going to beat you up and we're going to eat the food together while we bloodied up and beat up. Since you want to do that. That's how I would have responded to it before. Mm-hmm. But now in this situation, it's like, how do I utilize my intelligence? How do I utilize my emotional awareness and let him know, or without letting him know, that he got to me? Uh-huh. But how do I also not internalize it, but then flip it on his head and do a different outcome, an outcome that he wasn't even expecting, an outcome that I wasn't even expecting. And that's what I did. I allowed myself to be a thinking person, a thinking mind, as they say. Mm. A man is a person who thinks. Man refers to mind. Think. think yourself out of these problems. So I problem solved in that situation, brother, to answer your question. What also analyzing this, brother, knowing that, oh, he just wants to show up. He wants to be that person that, yes, he feels that he's better than me, but also wants me to feel like he's the source to go to. I'm the person to go to learn this. I'm the person to go to so you can have this status. I'm the person you can go to so you can eat big like that. And my mentality, already seeing this personality type, I sized him up already. So I knew not to fall into that trap.
Man, and that's crazy because I'm, again, I just want to reiterate that this is the way he felt, but you're in the same situation. And I think that's the trap that a lot of people, a lot of especially young people get into. We'll see someone that's in the same predicament that we're in or they're in. And yet if the person puffs themselves up or talks the loudest or does whatever, we feel that, okay, that's what I got to do to get to where I want to. You're in the same place. And the key to that is what you said. You said, hey, I've seen this kind of brother before. This wasn't new to me. What was new was how you dealt with the situation. Instead of you saying, hey, yeah, okay, this is the brother I need to mimic what he do. Mimic what he does. You're in the same cell. What good is that going to do? None. So what you say, I thought myself out of that situation. That's and if we could get that to more brothers, more sisters, more youth, and say, man, look, y'all need to think yourself out this situation. Don't listen to them because they're in the same situation as you are. There's nothing different. We get so much information from the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And wonder why our lives ain't changed. Like, they have not changed. Well, guess what? I mean, 0 + 0.
Yeah. Okay.
All day, every day, it equals 0, y'all. You got to find you a 1, you know, at least a 1. And then, you know, after that, find you a 2, 3, 4, whatever. But if you're at 0, don't look for 0. So now, So we've talked about the different hats this brother got. So we've been talking about the author hat. Let's talk about the motivational speaker. So here you are. You're in LA, and I know you probably done some traveling or whatever, speaking to these youth.
I came back from Baltimore about 4 days ago. So I was in Baltimore. I was doing a presentation in Baltimore, and I was talking to lawyers. I was talking to therapists. I was talking to correctional officers. I was talking to law enforcement, police officers. I was talking to all of these people of academia about my experience and about incarceration and about how I sort of transformed my life in that tough, oppressive environment.
Right.
And so the motivational speaking aspect was birthed from these type of situations and presentations to different audiences of people that I'm not used to.
Right.
And so what I do in these type of spaces is try to encourage those who may be on the other side of experiences, such as correctional officers, such as judges, such as prosecutors, to get them to sort of see the human, real realities that happens during incarceration and post-incarceration, and the realities of what we have to deal with on the day-to-day that they may not or may be aware of, but only to a certain degree. So my job in those spaces is to educate and to teach, but also to have interactions and also allow it to be an engaging interactive process opposed to a monologue. I want to create a dialogue. And so that's what I did in Baltimore. And that's what I do as a motivational speaker. I get people to think. I get people to, see themselves differently, see circumstances differently, see different populations differently. I majored in sociology in college. And so, I from time to time, I utilize that hat as well as a sociologist major to see dynamics socially. And so, again, I utilize these different dynamics of me to go into these spaces to uplift, to inspire, to educate, to encourage.
Now, hold on. I just want to put this into perspective. So that's what you did 4 days ago, right?
Yeah.
Go back 17 plus years. At any point in your life, did you think that one day you'd be an author, a motivational speaker that just came back from Baltimore, speaking to lawyers, teachers, police officers, what have you? Did that ever cross your mind that, man, yeah, one day did that ever cross your mind?
Absolutely not. I mean, even reflect 17 years ago, I think my mindset at that time was, it's over. My life is over as I know it, because I'm being sentenced to 25 years in state prison, and I'm a youngin. At this time, I'm probably about 17, 18 years old with a 25-year sentence ahead of me. So I didn't see no light after the end of that tunnel. So I definitely wouldn't see me presenting in front of all of these academia and people.
So the darkest point in your life, of course, you didn't see a way out, but you made a way. You scratched, you clawed, you climbed, you hollered, screamed, whatever you had to do, but you got out of that situation. Now, this brother is out of a free man. He's I'm an author, traveling. We're traveling motivational speaker, spoken word art. This brother's doing it all, and at one point he thought that. And I think that's incredible. That at one point you admit, man, I thought it was over. I was done. It wasn't nothing else for me. And now you're sitting here talking to me. And I'm like in awe. I'm like, God, dog. I'm like, man. Here you are. You're talking to all these people. What's the feeling that you get, or the response that you get from, like you said, you're talking to lawyers. And the thing is, these are people that lawyers, they either put people away or they represent them. You got police officers. Hey, let's be honest. Some are on the up and up, but a lot of them are not. You said you were talking to educators. And listen, I was an educator, and I've had educators. A lot of times they see a black person and you ain't. I remember, I'll never forget, in high school. man. To this day, it kind of burns me. But I had a teacher tell me, and it was because I accidentally stapled. We were taking a test, and she wanted us to staple it was a 2 or 3 page test, and I stapled it on the wrong side of the paper. And she said, hey, can you come up here and staple it on the right side? I said, oh, and what all I said was, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, I know you are. How's the rest of your family? Bro, what? now I was 14, 15 at the time. You can imagine how I responded. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of teachers aren't on the up and up. So you're talking to these people. What's the response like? What are you getting a good response?
Absolutely. I would even say that the expectation of the receiving. On the receiving end, I would say it went beyond my expectations. I mean, they practically gave me a standing ovation after I finished presenting. I had a bunch of people come to me and connect with me. A bunch of people still follow back and want me to speak in their spaces. But the point is this. I think I got them to understand our experience.
Right.
What goes on during and after. So I think that was a job well done and received. Right. Now, how I know it and what confirms it is when I have a middle-aged white woman comes up to me and says, my father was a correctional officer and my grandfather was a police officer. So what I'm trying to get to is I come from a long line of law enforcement in my family. And no one explained this to me, Anthony, the way you explained it to me. Thank you. And bought one of the books. So for me, that confirms that people from the other side of these experiences was able to attend my presentation and say, I get it now. I understand. Wow. And it may not be all of them, but if I just reach that one, just as I explained, I reached her, and you never know how far reaching that impact would go. As a proverb says, when you throw a dime or a penny into the ocean and it causes this ripple, you can't measure the distance of that ripple effect. So that impact on her, I can't measure the distance of how far reaching that would go, but I would tell you it created a ripple effect. And so that was, in my opinion, what I was destined to do in those spaces. And I believe I achieved that.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
It created a ripple effect. And so that was, in my opinion, what I was destined to do in those spaces. And I believe I achieved that objective.
Man. Boy, that's... Woo! Woo! Brother. All right. So now we're going to take that hat off. we're gonna take that motivational speaker. We're gonna move. All right. So now let's talk about the spoken word artist. So first and foremost, when you're doing your spoken word, do you go by Anthony McDuffie Jr. or is there another?
So I have a stage name. My stage name is Jay Poet, but oftentimes they introduce me as Anthony McDuffie Jr. Spoken artist as well.
So now, hold on. I gotta do an introduction with Jay Poet. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, come to the stage by way of Los Angeles, California, is the artist known as Jay Poet. All right, there we go, man.
So, there he is. Poetry. This is my second book, and this book was released February. It's a compilation of poems that I wrote while I was inside of prison. It has beautiful illustrations as well.
Wow.
Inside of the book. And so basically I recite these poems in a spoken word form, at events, and I've done shows already. I've done a book release party where I was reciting in the space with my family and friends. And so this is what gives me that artist, persona, if you will. And I utilize that to, once again, to inspire, to educate, to inform, to uplift, and to, you know, continue the art form, because I believe the social movement and the revolution of the social movement will be done by way of artists. Artists is what needed. It's not gonna come from no other direction politically. I believe the artists is going to politically align and then start forth the social movements. So with that being said, I try to utilize my platform to do just that, to educate, to inspire, to motivate, to push the culture forward.
Man, boy, this... I told y'all, this brother is not idle. This joke is all over the... He is everywhere. Good grief. So now you're also serving as editor of a poetry collection of
yes
All right.
So this is a poetry collection of a brother by the name of Robert Grigsby. Robert Grigsby is serving one of the oldest sentences in the penal code system, which is a sentence of 7 years to life. 7 years to life. So what this means is every 7 years, Robert Grigsby goes before a commissioner board hearing to see if he's eligible for parole. But for 50 years, after every 7 years, he's been denied. He's been denied 13 years. And the only reason for his denial is because he does not admit guilt in his case. Thus, he was wrongfully convicted of his crime. And so he's not going to admit guilt. And so they deny him every year, every 7 years. And he's been incarcerated now going over 50 years. So what I did as an editor was gathered his work, edited his work, and published his work.
Wow.
So I'm also my brand is also a publishing brand as well.
Good. That I didn't know, y'all. I would have put that in the I'd put that in the introduction. I ain't know about the publisher part. Good grief. I think that's awesome that and has he had a chance to see it as
he is so it's in the works. It just came out out June 6th. So how it goes is it takes some time for him to receive it in the corrections because he's still in prison.
Right.
But it's in route to get to him. So I'm sure he's going to be overly excited when he gets it.
I would love to hear his, you know, just how that might pick him up or make him feel when he sees this, you know, brother ain't forgot about me. That's got to really touch him. That's got to be. That's amazing, man. That's awesome. that's awesome. So when you do your spoken word, how can people who are fans or just lovers of art and spoken word, how can they find J. Poet?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram, J_Poet. I have a lot of work on there that they can see, spoken word material where I perform in different forums. So you have that. Also, my website, gritgrindandglory.com. Mm. On there, I have a press page, and viewers, listeners can look at all of the work that I've been doing thus far in the motivational / spoken artist space. So they can see all of my material there. And just kind of stand up to date with my Instagram, gritgrind_glory, to see the type of things that I'm posting and doing and collaborating. I've been doing a lot of collaborations lately. For instance, this jacket is a collaboration I did with a fashion designer, and it has my brand on it as well.
Wow.
So it's a collaboration between an author and a fashion designer within a Los Angeles
and
county,
awesome,
which
man.
Is so dope. These jackets are also going to be on my website for sale. They're custom made. This one specifically has Kobe Bryant and Nipsey Hussle in the back.
Hey.
Mike Tyson. Sleeve. You know, great kings and icons. And
man.
And this is the type of work that I like to do. I like to represent our Black excellence. That's the Black excellence tag.
Right.
So it's a lot of things that I'm doing. It's a lot of hats that I'm wearing. It's a lot of collaborations that I'm making happen. So for listeners and viewers, if they want to stay up to date with it, I would encourage them to visit my website on the daily and my Instagram.
Oh man, that was just the J. Poet side, or because I wanted to get to how they could. That was how you get a hold of J. Poet. How do you
right.
get rid of? How do you get a hold of Anthony McDuffie Jr.? How do you get a hold of the certified mental health first aider and, you know, and the author? How do you reach out to him?
Yeah. So again, I would encourage folks to hit me up on my website, because in my website there's a chat, and if they have any of those questions in regard to any of those subtitles or any information in regards of anything that I do, I think that would be the best way to contact me. And that way I can get their email address, and then we can correspond directly in that way and figure out how to collab and how to connect. That's what I'm about. I'm about trying to connect and collab, because I believe moving forward, in terms of currency, the real currency is social currency. Mm. So it's social networks you can build and connect, and the collaborations you can build with partnerships, the better successful you'll be.
You are the second person today that has said that. The second person today that has said that. So understand that, hey, that is confirmation, people. Hey, show, look, nothing beats making connections, period. Yeah. In the discussion, nothing beats making connections. So, hey, full disclosure, brother wanted to take the jacket off when we first started because he thought it was going to be like, I didn't know anything about the jacket, you know, being a collaborative effort, and he had a, I thought he was just wearing a jacket. I didn't know. And he wanted to take the jacket off. See, I wouldn't let him, y'all. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't have it. No. Yeah. But hey, but yeah, look, real talk. I'm about to see how I can get one of these jackets now. I'm about to see if I can get one of these jackets. Man, look, Mr. McDevitt. Man, I appreciate you stopping through, man. Man, your story is one that should be told to all. I mean, to hear how you have come from the depths. And now you on top of the world now.
Today marks 5 years of me being free from prison. Wow. I got out Juneteenth, 2019.
Wow.
Now it's Juneteenth, 2024. So as I look back at all of the things that I've accomplished in just five years of my freedom, it's remarkable. Two books, a documentary that's about to come out, my movie in the hands of directors who want to bring my book to a motion picture and bring it to life.
So a movie is in the works.
A movie is in the works.
Wow.
Going to Saudi Arabia. So in the back of this book, this is me in Saudi Arabia, in Hajj. And quick note about this picture specifically. I actually went out of the country before I went out of the state. So I'll say that again. Before I actually went out of the state of California, I went to Saudi Arabia first, and that's out of the country.
And that was to speak to them over there.
Well, that was going on Hajj. So on this.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right. And I went on a religious.
Gotcha. Man, yeah. This joke all over the place. Hey, all over the place. Man, we applaud you, man. We are here at the Life Strong Project family. We applaud you, man. Keep doing what you are doing. It is necessary. Let nobody tell you otherwise, which I don't think you will, but let nobody tell you otherwise, bro. Nobody, man. So, hey, again, you guys heard how you can reach out to either hat. I mean, there's so much. You need one of these hats. Just reach out and or coat. He got hats and coats. or jacket. And I'm looking at the jacket. I know y'all can't see it. I'm looking at the jacket. The jacket's fire. I didn't know.
Thank you, man.
The jacket is fire. I'm going to get one of these jackets, and I'm going to wear on one of these shows. And I'm make sure it's a V-cast, that one. And so you can see this jacket. Jacket's fire. So, so man, Mr. McDuffie, Jay Poet, man, we thank you for stopping through. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, sharing your experiences with this man. I hope and pray this ain't the last time you're on the show.
Invite me back, man. Hey, it was an absolute pleasure.
I'm inviting you back. I'm just saying that was an invitation. That was an invitation, though. I'm want you back. So we're definitely gonna have you back, man, for real. So that's the show for today, Life Strong Project family. We thank Mr. Anthony McDuffie Jr. for stopping through. Again, people, remember, our lives are fleeting. Cherish them. Our lives are ever-changing. Adapt to them. And most of all, your life is yours. You've got to live it. Hey, that's the show for today. One love, we out.
Thanks for listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
You know what they say. Early bird gets the ultimate vacation home. Book early and save over $120 with Vrbo. Because early gets you closer to the action, whether it's waves lapping at the shore or snoozing in a hammock that overlooks, well, whatever you want it to. So you can all enjoy the payoff come summer with Vrbo's early booking deals. Rise and shine. Average savings $141. Select homes only.